all the books that have ever been written. This is the book of books. There's no other book quite like this book put together over such a lengthy period of time and with so many different authors, and yet all put together in the sovereign design of Almighty God, that He might reveal His redemptive plan to fallen humanity. The Bible was put together that God might reveal Himself to us and reveal His plan of redemption to sinners, that they might be saved and that they might enjoy the fullest blessings of God in this life. And then when they retire from this life, have assurance of a more precious life over on the other side. I'm glad I got assurance of heaven this morning. Amen. Somebody said, are you hoping you'll make it? Well, I've got hope, but I'm not hoping I'll make it. I know I'm going to make it. I've read the last chapter of the book. Amen. I'm not hoping nothing. I know. And somebody says, how do you know? Well, I was there when Jesus birthed me in. And there's no question about it. I'm not taking nobody else's word for it. You don't have to testify for me. I don't need anybody to testify for me and tell you what God's done in my life. I can tell you what He's done. Amen. That's right. From rags to riches. From the mire to the choir. From the dunghill into the family of God. He found me in the field, in the world, polluted in my own blood. And He passed by and looked upon my pitiful condition and said, live. And to His glory, I came alive. Just like the young man that was in the city of Nain, you know, and was dead. He was in the bier, in the coffin. They were in a funeral position. His mother was weeping. And Jesus just simply touched it, and everybody stood still. And the young man that was dead arose and began to give God the glory. And I tell you, that's what every sinner does when they're saved. They are spiritually resurrected. And in doing so, they look at the death that they were just delivered from and the life that they're now facing. And with a heart of admiration and thanksgiving, they give Him the praise for doing that. Now, give me the liberty this morning to try to preach. Now, I'm going to be honest. What I've got to preach is so simple. And I may not be able to do anything but read my notes that I have. But I'm going to do that. If that's all I can do, I'll do that. It's a wonderful piece of Scripture. But I had a real difficult time of putting it together the way I wanted it to be put together and come out to you this morning. But I'm going to do my best with it. Song of Solomon, chapter number 3. And we'll stand for the reading of the Word of God, the first 9 verses. The way we've been doing our reading text on Sunday morning, I read the entire chapter down to where I'm going to be preaching from. And that helps me to memorize it, helps our people to hide the Word in their heart, and familiarizes us with the Word of God. Verse number 1, Song of Solomon, chapter number 3. The Bible said, by night on my bed I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth. I held Him and would not let Him go until I'd brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till He please. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 60 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of wood, of the wood of Lebanon. That seems like an odd place to stop, but that's where we're going to stop this morning and pray, and I ask you to help me, please. Our Father, I'm thankful for the privilege of preaching the Word of God. And I do pray that you'll help my heart this morning. God, that you'll provide me with the energy in my body that I need and the unction in my soul. I pray for that fresh oil that comes from the Spirit of God to anoint me this morning, empower me, and help me. I do pray that the Spirit of God would convict in an old-fashioned way the hearts and lives of those who are here lost and dying and without God this morning. Lord, you search the hearts and you try the reins. It's not in anything that I say this morning, but Father, it's in the work of the Spirit of God. Salvation is of the Lord. I give you the praise and the glory. You're worthy of it. I want to thank you this morning for saving a miserable wretch like me. Lord, for lifting me out of the miry clay and placing me in the chariot of God and putting me, Lord, in the direction of thy palace, knowing that I'll arrive safely on the other side, cradled in the everlasting arms of God. But I do pray that you'll help others this morning. Help the church. Revive our people. Bless every soul. Meet every need. Help me to say everything that needs to be said and refrain from saying anything, Lord, that does not need to be said in this service to bring glory and honor to you and a blessing to your people. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Our text verse is found in verse number 9 of this chapter, where King Solomon writes this under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He said, King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Amen. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. What a verse of Scripture. What a tremendous statement that is made. I want to try to preach for a little while this morning on that chariot. And verse number 9 simply mentions the chariot in general. And that's what I want to preach on this morning, just a general view of Solomon's chariot. Next week, he goes into the particulars of that chariot and describes it. I'm talking about in minute detail. And we'll take a closer look at it on next week. But if God will help me this morning, I want to try to preach on this thought, a ride you'll never forget. A ride you'll never forget. I want to say by way of introduction that on September the 13th, 1970, God lifted my unworthy soul out of the quagmires of sin and set me alongside Him in His chariot that is paved with love. And folks, I've been riding in that chariot ever since. It's not only a ride you'll never forget, but it's the ride of your life. In fact, it is the ride for your life. I'm thankful that in the chariot we have life. And if you look at the description of it in verse 10, you'll have to conclude that in there we not only have life, but we have life more abundantly. I'm glad, thank God, that we're taking a ride, folks, that we'll never forget. And our King Solomon is there with us in the chariot. Amen. What company, what companionship that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. As He picks you and I up as poor, helpless sinners out of the miry clay and out of sin, and allows us to ride in His glorious chariot of salvation and deliverance, and gives us the calm assurance in our heart that we're going to make it to the other side. You know, I have ridden in a lot of things. I've ridden in automobiles. I've flown in airplanes. I've been in motorboats. I've even ridden steamships across the ocean. I've been in Ferris wheels and merry-go-rounds and motorcycles and bicycles and tricycles. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, I have never in my life had a ride like I'm in Solomon's chariot. I'll guarantee you it is a ride that you will never forget. View the glory that is about you. Look at the guards that are surrounding you. Look at all the beauty that is present with you. All of the protection and the power that is there with you in this chariot. I'll assure you, my friend, it is a ride that you will never forget. Now, this Scripture, and I said this last week, I'll say it again, is some of the most lovely and glorious Scripture in all the Word of God. They reveal Christ to us in three of the most excellent steps in all the Bible. In verse number 9, He's Christ in... Let me go back here. Wait a minute. They reveal Christ to us in three excellent steps. In verse number 7, we see His bed, which I said was the church. And there in that bed, my friend, we have a quiet and a peaceable life, and we live in nearness to Christ. And if you notice the Scripture there, the bride simply calls Him Solomon. Behold His bed, which is Solomon's. But in verse number 9, we go up a step. And there we find Christ, or find Solomon in his chariot, and us along with him. And there she calls him, or addresses him, as King Solomon. But if you go on down to the verse number 11, we find him there as being crowned as King Solomon. Now, I don't know much about the Bible, but I believe from verse number 7 through verse number 11, we have a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in His condescension to this earth in the lowly form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man, finding Himself in the fashion of a man, humbling Himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We find Him as our Solomon, bringing us the gospel, the glorious gospel that is able to deliver our soul from sin and death and to prevent us faultless before His throne. But oh, as King Solomon, my friend, we find ourselves in His chariot, riding through the journey of this life with our blessed King, making our way on to glory. But in verse number 11, she said, He is King Solomon and He's been crowned. I want to say to you, there's coming an hour when we will crown Him Lord of all, my friend. We'll bring forth that royal diadem and crown our Lord Jesus Lord of all. Hallelujah to God. There's coming a day, my friend, that those of us that are in the chariot will anchor in over on the other side and will have the blessed delight of spending an eternity in the presence of Almighty God. I don't know about you, but my friend, that blesses my soul to know that He pulled up that divine kingly chariot down yonder in the land of Lodibar, and with tender care the Holy Ghost of God placed you and I on board, amen, and pointed that chariot in the direction of the King's palace, and by the grace of God, we're going on the other side, amen. That's right, I know that. I know that is correct. Now, last week, we looked at Solomon in that bed, or looked at his bed, as it was a place of quietness and nearness to Christ, guarded by 60 valiant men, all expert in war. I mean, standing ready to protect that bed from any intruders. But this week, I want to look at that chariot. King Solomon. She said King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Just what on heaven's name is that chariot? And what does it represent? Well, some folks believe that chariot to represent the human nature of Christ. And I'd say very well it could, because it was made out of the wood of Lebanon. And in the Bible, wood is always a type of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to remind you that it starts out as wood, just simply the wood of Lebanon. And it was there in His humanity, my friend. It was in His humanity that He revealed Himself and made Himself conspicuous to all men. Amen. And gave a glorious display of the power and the love of Christ. Now, I'm here to tell you I do not understand the incarnation. But I can tell you without a doubt that the Bible teaches that the God of all the ages, my friend, took upon Himself a robe of flesh and was born in a manger in Bethlehem. Lived 33 and a half years of sinless life upon this earth, and then humbled Himself on an old rugged cross and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But that same God, 3 days later, out of a borrowed tomb, my friend, came out of the grave with the keys of hell and death about His girdle, and He's coming again, my friend, without sin, unto salvation for all those that will look for Him. I don't understand the incarnation. And I'm telling you, it's glorious that God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Jesus was not 50% God and 50% man. Oh no, He was 100% God and 100% man. And that wood of Lebanon, that chariot, may very well, my friend, be a type of the humanity of Christ, because it was in His humanity that He showed us God the Father. He said, "My and my Father are one." He told Philip, "When you've seen Me, Philip, you've seen the Father." I'm telling you, my friend, that in Christ is all the glory of God manifested. In Him is all God bodily in the Godhead. Oh yes, Jesus was God, very God in flesh. Amen. Solomon, King Solomon, built himself a chariot. It also shows his humility and his condescension. How that one of royal dignity. I'm going to tell you, that's something that we need to understand today. Brother, that most Baptists have never gotten a hold of. That it was not an ordinary man that died on Calvary. No, sir. How that He of such royal dignity. I'm talking about the God that created everything. Oh yes, when He stepped out on something, when there was nothing to step out on, and spoke everything that you and I see into existence. The God of glory that had the seraphim and the cherubim that cried, "Holy, holy, holy," all day and night around Him. I'm talking about the God, my friend, that had no beginning, always has been, always will be God. That God that created Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life and made him a living soul. That God humbled Himself, wrapped Himself in a robe of flesh, come to an old rugged cross, and died there for our sins that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I see His humility. Huh? I see His humility. I want to say number three, being of the wood of Lebanon, also shows the incorruption of His human nature. For that wood of Lebanon was more than likely cedar wood. And cedar is, you can put a cedar post out here in the ground, and it'll be there 100 years from now, just don't rot. And those cedars of Lebanon may very well, my friend, typify this humanity of Christ in its incorruption. His soul was not left in hell, neither did His flesh see corruption. I want you to know when he went into the tomb, my friend, and laid there 3 days and three nights, there was no rigor mortis whatsoever set in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, no. No incorruption whatsoever. He went into that grave in the body of a man, and you mark her down, that same body come up out of the grave, incorruptible, ascended back to the right hand of God the Father, and sat down there, and He's there today to make intercession for the saints of God. Thank be unto God. Amen. Amen. I want you to see something else, that the chariot was made for him only. King Solomon made himself a chariot. It was not made for anybody else. It was King Solomon. There's no doubt that the Godhead, my friend, in sovereign council, sat down and decreed the fact of our plan of salvation, or our redemptive plan. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But I want to say to you, my friend, that it was the Son, the second person of the Trinity, that came and rode in that chariot. Hallelujah to God! It was Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, that came, my friend, in the form as human and took upon Himself a human nature and walked upon Calvary's brow and laid His life down that you and I might be saved by the good grace of God. Now, please don't leave me. I'm going to try to bring the thought here in just a minute, if you'll bear with me, okay? Now, what is that chariot? Could it be His human nature? It could be. But I'm going to tell you what I believe it is. And I'm going to try to preach on it a little while. Y'all help me now. Pray for me. Y'all help me. I want to tell you what I think that chariot is in short. I think it is God's way of redemption in general. That chariot simply represents God's way of salvation. God's redemptive plan. It was contrived in the eternal counsel of God, and you and I call it today the covenant of redemption. It may be called the God's covenant of grace. Oh yes, for it is by grace that we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the very gift of God. Oh, that chariot, not only, my friend, made out of the wood of Lebanon, but with silver pillars and a canopy of blue, a bottom of gold, and paved with love, represents full well God's eternal plan of redemption. Oh, yes, sir. God's salvation plan. If you please, my friend, in a nutshell, it is God's redemptive plan as manifested, preached, and revealed to you and I in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. I'm thankful there was a day in my life when I heard the gospel preached, when an old-fashioned Baptist preacher stood in the pulpit of a church and preached the gospel. The fact that Jesus came, that He was buried according to the Scriptures, that He arose again according to the Scriptures, oh yes, and was seen of above 500 men after He arose from the grave, my friend, and yonder on Mount Olivet, He ascended back to the Father and was told that that same Jesus that we see, that they saw go up, shall so come again. In like manner, I'm here to tell you, my friend, that chariot simply represents the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that will save an old sinner. And my friend, the gospel has enough power to carry you all the way to heaven. We're in a ride for our life. I'm glad I got on board the old gospel ship of amen to God, and it's going to carry me all the way to the portals of glory someday. That's right. Simply represents the gospel. Represents the gospel. Now, God's covenant. It's God's covenant. God's gospel. God's covenant of redemption revealed in the gospel. And it is eminently and peculiarly Christ's workmanship. Notice what it says in our text. King Solomon made himself a chariot. Nobody else made it. Now, I'm going to have to take Scripture for what it says. It does not say that King Solomon had him a chariot made. It simply says that King Solomon made himself a chariot. Oh, I could intervene right there. I don't know whether or to or not. I might get sidetracked. But God provided himself a lamb. It did not say, my friend, that he made a chariot for him, but he made himself a chariot. I'm glad that our Lord Jesus is the chariot, my friend. Oh yes, he is the mode. He is the chariot. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Christ Jesus is the way. He's the one that will carry you and out of heaven. I know that's right. I had to interject that. But it is eminently Christ's workmanship. Nobody else made that chariot. King Solomon made himself a chariot. Oh yes, nobody else made it. Now I want to say to you, my friend, the gospel is eminently the work of Christ. Oh, it wasn't contrived in the mind of a man. It was not decided upon in the wisdom of the world, but in the eternal counsel of Almighty God. Yes, God foreordained, my friend, through His own sovereign and divine will, that Christ should prepare Himself a chariot and make Himself a lamb. Amen. Oh yes, it would be a means of redemption and salvation that sinners might be saved from their sin. Somebody said, well, I'm not a sinner. Oh yes, you are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now today's time we realize what sin is. Realize that we have offended the holiness of God. Amen. His wisdom drew the plan. His wisdom drew the plan. His power effected the plan. And His grace fulfilled the plan. Nobody else had a thing to do with it. God Himself has provided a redemption for you and I that we might know God in the free pardon of sin, my friends. I'd like to illustrate that to you this morning if I can. Peter preaching in Acts chapter 2. You don't need to turn there. But Peter preaching on that day of Pentecost. And he made this statement. He said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." Somebody said, "Oh, those Roman soldiers bound Him hand and foot and carried Him up Calvary's brow." I want you to know, my friend, that He laid His life down that He might take it up again. It was foreordained in the determinate counsel of Almighty God that the Son of God should come into the world and be a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. God Himself contrived that great plan in His own wisdom and through His own counsel. I took time to look up that word determinate in the determinate counsel. The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. See, I do believe in the foreknowledge of God. If you mention foreknowledge in most churches today or sovereignty, they label you right quick as a hyper-Calvinist. But I do believe in this, both the sovereignty of God and the foreknowledge of God. Now, I looked up that word determinate counsel. And it simply means a boundary line or a frontier. or it really means on the horizon. In the determinate counsel of God. Folks, before there ever was a world in existence, before Adam ever was, before the stars shined in the sky, before the sun gave its heat and the moon gave its light, God sat down in His own, the counsel of His own will, having looked out on the horizon. Somebody said, well, when Adam sinned, it surprised God. Adam's sin has not shocked God, and neither has your sin shocked God, neither has your life shocked God, and neither has your salvation shocked God. He looked out on the horizon, my friend, in His own determinate counsel, and saw humanity fallen and helpless before Him, without God and without hope, destined for hell, no way to reach heaven. And in His own determinate counsel, He said, I, in the person and my Son, will condescend to earth that I might lift fallen man out of this sin and give him hope of eternal and everlasting life. Hallelujah to God. In His own determinate counsel. I'm going to tell you, God has never conferred one time with flesh and blood. He never asked nobody's advice. There wasn't nobody to get it from. But in His own determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, Peter went on to say, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holding of it. Now I'm going to tell you, if we was in the right spirit in here this morning, son, we'd be on the ceiling fans right now. Somebody said, well, what if Christ hadn't have got out of the grave? It was not even possible that He could be held by death. There is no way, my friend, that life, I'm not talking about the life as we know it in this world, touching and so, oh, I'm talking about a life far beyond that, a spiritual life. There is no way that life can ever be held in death. And our Lord Jesus, my friend, is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Oh yes, my friend, in the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, He decreed that the Son, who is all life, should voluntarily bow His head and give up the ghost and lay her there. But 3 days later, because death could not hold Him prey, hallelujah to God, He got up out of the grave and His victory has victory over death, hell, and the grave today. What a God. And son, I don't know about you, but I'm having a ride of my life. Woo! Thanks be unto God. I'm glad I got in the chariot. I'm a riding with Jesus. Amen. Somebody said, who's your chauffeur? He is. Yes, sir. And by the way, I'm not expecting now any flat tires, any mechanical breakdowns, or no running out of gas. His chariot, my friend, is energized with holy power. And His tires run on holy gold. Oh, and He's not about to break down or run out of gas. Somebody said, will we make it to heaven? Oh, I feel so sorry for those folks that believe in falling from grace and losing their salvation. I'm going to say, hey, you know what their problem is? They're probably trying to pull the chariot. That's got iron inside the chariot. Oh yeah, it's being pulled by those white stallions in Solomon's army, and they're not about to run out of gas. No sir, my friend, or have a flat tire. We're going all the way in this run. What a ride. Amen to God. All the troubles and trials are outside the chariot. All the heartaches are outside the chariot. All your problems are outside the chariot. All your sicknesses is outside the chariot. All your hurt, pain, and sorrow is outside the chariot. I'm glad, thank God, we're on the inside of the chariot. I'm looking out, glory to God, this morning. I think I'm about to loosen up a little bit. Trying to push my way through her this morning, buddy. It ain't been easy, but we're about to break ground zero. About to break the sound barrier. Now, do you understand where the church is at? She is inside the chariot. And you've got 60 valiant men surrounding that chariot.
Amen.
You have got and I don't want to get ahead next week, but you've got a canopy of blue over you.
Amen.
The bottom of it is paved with deity. Oh, it's humanity on the outside, but the bottom of it is paved with gold, which is deity and power. And the royalty is held up by the silver pillars of redemption, my friend.
Amen.
And we're covered with glory over us, deity under us, silver around us, oh yes, and 60 armed guards about us, and we're going to make it by the grace of God.
Amen.
Are you catching what I'm saying? Oh, what a ride. I'm going to tell you the problem with some of you. You don't know how to enjoy the ride. Huh? My wife and I get driving down the highway and she says I drive like Jehu. She picked that up from Brother Nolan several years ago. Now Jehu driveth furiously. And I say, honey, why don't you just sit back and relax and enjoy the trip? And she's got a Bible up in front of her eyes, and she said, I'm enjoying it. Honey, why don't you relax? Well, I'd be honest, sweetheart, I don't trust your driving. Let me ask you something. Do you trust Jesus driving?
Amen.
Son, we have got a King who is at the helm of this thing this morning. Oh, yes, the old ship of Zion is sailing safely along. And we have got a blessed captain, my friend, that will guide our vessel all the way in the heaven's glory and will dock on the shores of glory someday. And I'm going to say, hey, look here. When we come to church and our lower lips are dragging the ground and we feel like God's dead, we're like Jacob, we feel like Joseph died somewhere along going to pit. You get the typology, we think Joseph died in the pit. But I got news for you, friend. He come up out of the pit. He's out of the pit. God rolled the stone away. And he come out of the abyss this morning, out of that dark, horrible pit. And bless your heart, he left the napkin folded and laying in a place by itself, signifying that he's a coming back, glory to God, that his work's not done on earth. We come to church and act like God's dead. Nobody loves us and we ain't going to make it. We carry our troubles around on our shoulder. I want to say to these folks that's here this morning from over in Indiana, let God put a smile on your face. Oh, yes, sir. You still in the chariot of grace. You still in the chariot of redemption. You still in the chariot of the gospel this morning. It's paved with love, my friend. Read the book. It's paved with love. In the midst of it, I'm telling you what Solomon is telling us. In the midst of it all, God still loves His young'uns this morning. God, help us. Amen. I think if I just throw them notes away and preach, I'd be better off. Huh? Read verse 10. Read verse 10, what it tells you. In the midst, it's paved with love.
Amen.
Somebody said, will I make it? Are you in the chariot? I'm going to tell you what he said in John 17. Out of all! Not out of some of them. Out of all that my Father giveth me.
Amen.
Have I lost none save the son of perdition, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled.
Amen.
Are you in the Father's hand? Are you in the Father's hand? My friend, he said there's no man able to pluck us out of his Father's hand. His Father which gave us to him is greater than all. We're a gift from God to his Son. Can you get a hold of that? And God's not an end-in giver. Oh, you're just not saved by accident this morning. You are a gift of God to His Son. We are Christ's inheritance this morning. Hallelujah to God. And son, we are going through. Woo! I'm telling you, like Noah on that old ark, while the world around him was a-drowning, he was a-sailing on top of the water. My friend, the world around us is a-drowning. The world all around us is a-drowning. And I'm telling you, we're in a chariot, my friend. And by the way, it's a chariot of fire this morning, and the horsemen thereof. And son, we are born to glory, not, my friend, in an ill-mannered way, but in a chariot of fire, the blaze of glory we're going. Hallelujah. What an inheritance. What a ride. There's been a ride of my life. I'll never forget my trip to Germany in that old ship. I got sicker than a dog. Vomited all over everything. Couldn't hold anything on my stomach. Up and down, over and about. Got in the English Channel and thought I'd sure die before we got to Germany. Literally, thought I'd die. Man, that was some ride. I'm going to tell you, this chariot ride of mine ain't never made me sick. Are you listening to me? I'll never forget the first time I flew on an airplane. That thing lifted off the ground. I'm going to tell you what, buddy. My knuckle, I thought I was under conviction. My knuckles turned white. I was hanging on for dear life. I thought, what a ride. I'll never forget flying from Lynchburg, Virginia, into Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in one of them little transport planes. What do they call them? Commuter planes. That plane was just like that. I thought, Lord, what a ride. One fellow was I tried to witness to one guy. Tried to tell him about Jesus, you know, and before we left Lynchburg. And he said, "Now, sir, I don't have anything against you." But he said, "I don't have time for God. Don't have time for your gospel. I'm a businessman. I'm making money. And that's what I'm going to do in life, make money." That plane had a problem, a mechanical problem. They force landed it. Was going to route us out on another plane, but then they got it fixed. And they come and announced it. "We've got the plane fixed." Said, "Just a little problem. It'll be here in a minute to get you." That plane, it was snowing. That plane landed and we took off. And this guy didn't understand why they was flying at warp speed at low altitude. And that plane was doing this. And I looked up there at him and he was hanging on to the seat in front of him like that. He looked petrified. I raised up over my seat and said, "Pour it on him, Lord. He don't need God. Pour it on him. Let his money buy his way out of this mess, God. He don't need you." I looked back over my shoulder like that. I said, "Pour it on him some more, God. Make it as bumpy and rough as you possibly can. Pour it on him." Buddy, I rubbed it in. I said, "I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready." But I said, that fella ain't. We came out of Brother Anderson's on Wednesday night. We're standing outside of talking. The gravel road lane comes down into his parking lot behind the church. And here come this car in with two people. I thought it was two girls. Somebody said the driver was a man. Had a ball hat on backwards and a ponytail. I thought it was a girl. That car was a boom, 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 boom. Had that music, a boom, 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 boom. And they stopped about 25 feet over from us. And the passenger door flew open and that girl laid out. Just regurgitating all over everything. They went down the parking lot and drove, turned around and come back and stopped almost the same place on the other side. I said, "Ain't that fun? Ain't that fun? Ain't that fun? Hallelujah to God. Ain't that wonderful to be a drunk and lost and going to hell? I'm glad, thank God, in 1970, Brother Doug. Oh yeah, I got in a chariot, my friend. Oh yeah, and God delivered me from that. I've been having a ride of my life ever since, Lord to God. Bless His wonderful name." I've got to hurry. Not only is it eminently Christ's workmanship, but I want to say that it was designed, those chariots in those days, as Mr. Spurgeon says, palanquin. They were designed, listen now, to carry the bride from the house of her father to the house of her husband. Hallelujah. Did you get a hold of that? From the house of her father. They were designed to do that. Built for that journey. Specially built. Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, the gospel, God's plan of redemption, was especially designed and especially built. He's not left any loopholes in it. There are no provisions for failure. I mean, son, she is a clear-cut plan, signed, sealed, and delivered to transport us from our old house on this earth to the Son's house yonder in glory. Amen to God. Somebody said, do you have any proof of that? Well, you don't need to turn there. But yeah, I thought about the Good Samaritan. I thought about the Good Samaritan. He went down, went from Jerusalem down to Jericho and fell among thieves, the Bible said. Amen. And those thieves left him wounded and robbed him and left him wounded and naked, laying in a ditch. The story said that a priest and a Levite at separate times walked by. They kind of looked over and saw him and done nothing about it.
Amen.
They just went on their merry way. But it said a certain Samaritan came by. Just an old half-breed's all he was. And I really believe that Samaritan saw that man in his pitiful condition. He didn't pass by, but he got off of his own beast. Got down in the ditch. Poured in a little oil and a little wine, bound up the wounds, now get this, and he set him on his own beast.
Amen.
On his own beast.
Yeah, right.
And carried him all the way down yonder to the inn.
Amen.
Now, hey, and I just looked up that little word beast. It simply means his own property.
Right.
It belonged to him. That good Samaritan got out of it, took his own property, that which belonged to him. Did not belong to the man that fell among thieves, it belonged to the good Samaritan. But he dismounted, got off of his own property, and set that man upon his own property. And I don't know whether this is in there or not, but I'm going to put it in. I believe he kind of crawled up on there behind him. Said, "Giddy up, Betsy. Are you listening to me?" And that beast carried that fellow all the way to the inn.
Amen.
To where, oh yeah. And it said when he got him to the inn, he took care of him.
Amen.
Not only to... Look here now, get the picture. That good Samaritan took care of this man.
Right.
From the ditch to his own beast to the inn. Never stopped taking care of him, my friend.
Amen.
Now I'm here to tell you that Christ got down in the ditch of sin and lifted you out of it.
Amen.
Pouring in oil and wine, set you on His own property.
Amen.
He took care of you in the ditch. He's taken care of you on the beast.
Amen.
He's taken care of you all the way to the inn.
Amen.
I'm simply saying, friend, that we're having a ride of our life. Hallelujah to God. Now stay with me. Stay with me. I'll say thirdly, that in His chariot, she rides triumphantly.
Amen.
Now, I could preach a while there. I'm not going to. It's getting too late. I've done fiddled around trying to get in the preaching gear, and I've had a hard time doing it. But she rode triumphantly. Somebody said, "I can't have any victory in my life." Are you in the chariot? How can you not have victory? Now, friend, when you're riding in the King's chariot,
amen,
and the King is alongside, and His sentinels are about you, you have the royalty of heaven's blue above you. You have the deity, His eternality. You're riding with the all-eternal One. His eternality is on the bottom. The pillars of silver redemption is on each side, and it's paved in the midst with love. How on heaven's name can you not have victory?
Yeah,
I'm about to get tired of folks walking around, bless God, dragging their lower lips all the time.
Yeah,
now, we just need to understand, friend, that sometimes our ways are not God's ways all the time.
Yeah,
and some ways are going to get rough and rocky and discouraging. I don't understand why God done what He has done in Jeffersonville at Bible Baptist. But I'm confident, my friend, that God has done it and granted it.
for somebody's good and for His own glory. Somebody said, how can it be? Friend, God is yet separating the wheat and the tares, and He's binding the tares together in bundles to be burned. Somebody said, preacher, I thought those folks over there were your friends. They are my friends, and I love them. But I'm here to tell you, if they want to follow a heretic, oh yes, if they want to follow a heretic, then there is nothing that we can do about it. Now, I'm telling you, the best thing that we can do is to shake the dust of our feet off of that place, bless God, and go on and find the will of God and do it. Don't you let that mess discourage you. Don't call them. Don't let them call you. Don't bother them. Let them go. I'm going to tell you, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both of them will fall in the ditch. Let them walk in blindness. Get in the chariot and ride. Get in the chariot and ride. Somebody said, there ain't many of us, but where two or three are gathered together, there He is in the midst of them. Get in the chariot and ride. Don't worry about what's behind you, son. The past is gone. Look to the future. It's bright and glorious. Our best days are yet ahead of us. Our best days are yet ahead of us. Hallelujah. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Romans 8:37, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. 2 Kings chapter number 9. David sent down and got Mephibosheth and brought him all the way to the king's table. He rode triumphantly, my friend, all the way to the king's palace. From out of Lodibar, the land of no bread, crippled on both feet, sitting at the king's table. What about little old Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter number 1? Oh, yes, in the king's chair. Somebody said, did you have victory? Oh, she had some troubles and she had some hindrances. But I'm telling you, chapter 2 begins with her giving praise and glory to God in the chariot, my friend. Oh, yes, the problems are outside, but we can ride gloriously and victoriously and triumph as long as we're in the chariot. Now, don't get in the wrong chariot. If you get in the wrong chariot, it'll be death. Do you know that in 1 Kings chapter number 22, a fellow by the name of Ahab was in a chariot and went out into battle? Now, Jehoshaphat, another king, was in the same battle. And he made it. He was riding in the right chariot. One of the prophets of God told Ahab and said, if it hadn't been for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even come down here and fool you. Talking about Ahab. Ahab got in that wrong chariot. And a man at a distance cut loose with a bow and hit him in the harness between the joints. He propped himself up, went out of the battle and propped himself up and stood there in the chariot and bled to death. Amen. Now I'm telling you, my friend, riding in the wrong chariot will bring you death. Amen. There's only one. Amen. That chariot of redemption, that covenant of grace is the only chariot that provides safety and protection. You get in the devil's chariot. Get in the world's chariot. Get in Ahab's chariot. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, you may prop yourself up for a while. Now I want to say this right here. God laid it on my heart, and I'm going to say it. If you don't like it, you can rump it. But I'm going to tell you what that crowd that's left over there, they might prop themselves up in the chariot for a while. But Sunday I'll bleed to death. And somebody will wash their blood out of the chariot and the dogs will lick it up like they licked up their house. Somebody said, I don't believe that, preacher. I don't make no difference whether you believe it or not. I'm telling you what's going to happen. I wouldn't touch that egg sucker with a 10-foot pole. I'm in my pulpit now. I preach the way I want to here. I wouldn't touch the egg sucker with a 10-foot pole. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, preacher, he's a good man. Hogwash. The Bible said, speak evil of no man. I'm not. He's a reprobate. You'll catch that after a while. A slow freight. He's a false prophet. He'll bleed to death. Oh, he's propping himself up. But he'll bleed to death eventually.
Are you listening to me? I want to say four things. I'm getting ready to close. This chariot being made of wood of Lebanon is very durable. Now, I've been saying this all through the message, but the saints of God will persevere. Hebrews 11:13 said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth." Amen. They all died in faith, friend. Amen. They persevered. I'm going to tell you, you can't even preach on perseverance today. Most Baptists will label you something you're not. But I believe in the perseverance of the saints. If we're saved, we're going to make it.
Amen.
God will see to it that you make it. You're in His chariot.
Amen.
You can't help but to persevere.
Amen.
I'll say lastly, that wood of Lebanon, probably cedar. Speaking of incorruption. And in it, we are not only, do we not only persevere, but we are preserved.
Amen.
Now, God gave me this little thought last night, and I'm going to close with this. I've tried to preach. It's been rough this morning, but I've tried to preach. And had a whole lot of liberty to get it, because I knew I wouldn't from last night trying to study. Yes, sir. But I want you to hear me. If you can fruit, the fruit is what... If you can put a can of... Say, if you can green beans, you put them in a jar, pressure cook them, put them in a jar. You can them, Patty. Anybody here can them? You can them, honey. Put them in a jar. You pressure cook them. And you preserve those beans, right? Now, I want to ask you something. What's preserving those beans? The bean itself or the jar around it? The bean itself, folks, has no preservative power at all. Take it out of the jar and it'll immediately corrupt.
Amen.
You know where I'm going, don't you, Brother Andy? You have no preservative power at all in you, neither do I.
Amen.
Only preserved in the chariot!
Amen.
Read Jude 1. We're preserved in Christ Jesus and called. Are you listening? Son, we are preserved in the chariot.
Amen.
I wish Baptists get a hold of that.
Amen.
What a ride.
Amen.
And look here, and can't help but to make it all the way.
Sure.
King Solomon made himself a chariot.
Amen.
Of the wood of Lebanon. You in that chariot this morning? You say, you know you're going to glory? If I didn't, I'd get it right. Let's stand together. I tried my best this morning. It's been the easiest day that I've ever had preaching. But I have tried. We're going to sing a song of invitation. God's spoken to your heart this morning. You've never been saved. I want to encourage you this morning to come to Christ. You know you're lost. You know you're lost as well as you know you're standing in this building. I want to invite you to come this morning.